Good morning, BFN family. Guess what? It is Wednesday morning, and you're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studios today, this morning, is the one and only Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. I can't wait to talk this morning. We have a shout-out this morning to Eddie. Good morning, Eddie, up there in New Jersey, man. Hey, can you ship me some of those ribs? You know what I'm saying? The special. Hey, you can put the special sauce on the side. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Woo! Send me some, too.
Oh, my goodness. Good morning, Sophia and Tony. Good morning, Crystal. Be with you in just a moment. Get your coffee, because we're about to talk. Give a shout-out to our Facebook family out there. We're excited about getting the broadcast over Facebook. Oh, my goodness. It is so cool how technology is. We'll give a shout-out this morning to Jordan. Hoorah, man. Hoorah for the Marines, man. Good morning, good morning, good morning. You are listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Again, joining me in the studios is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Oh, my goodness. We had a wonderful time, didn't we, yesterday with Barbara from Texas.
That was awesome having her here.
Can you believe it was over 100 degrees already?
Oof. Oh, my goodness.
I'm telling you what. Anybody that's complaining about the cool or the cold, realize it's 100 degrees in Texas. We'll give a shout-out out there to Kechara and James. You know, stay cool in that temperature out there. My goodness. Omarion, what's up, dude? Oh, God is just doing wonderful, wonderful things, man. Jamian, what an awesome praise report of what's happening in your life, man. It's just exciting to see God moving and what you're doing and how your boldness for God is just a powerful witness to us all. You know, and at such a young age, and we're just encouraged to see what's happening over there in Texas. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, it's amazing.
I got great news, man. Listen to this.
Yeah.
No, the great news is not that I worked out this morning. Oh, I did work out.
Wow.
I got up at the crack of, you know, whenever, and actually I did. And, you know, obviously somebody's praying for me, mm-hmm. you know, and God's heard your prayers, and I actually have been able to, you know, do some exercise. You know, when you're younger,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? You used to like, you know, I've got to do this much and that much, you know. If I just exercise at all.
I pick up anything.
You know, I'm like, whoa, you know, that's totally, you know, it makes you feel much better, gets the blood going.
Yeah.
You know, anything to help your memory work, right?
Does that help?
What was I saying?
Where am I?
I don't know. Where are you? Well, Pastor Fred Luter, you got to hear this. Pastor Fred Luter is the new president for the Southern Baptist Convention. And this is so relevant and so important because he's the first African-American president of the Southern Baptist Convention for the first time in its history.
Wow.
And the roots of the Southern Baptist Convention is they actually defended slavery mm-hmm. in the history. And, of course, they're not anymore. Mm-hmm. They're totally just repented of that. And,
right.
and that's all we can do,
sure.
you know, is repent about things that have actually happened. But today, its very first African-American president, you know, Pastor Fred Luter, he was the only one, nobody even, they said, we're not even going to run it. We're not going to have anybody run against you. And so he's a pastor in New Orleans. He's the pastor of, I believe, Franklin Avenue Church there in New Orleans. He started on the streets, you know, preaching, in the, you know, about the gospel. And what's interesting, too, it's in New Orleans because it's Franklin Avenue Church. That New Orleans was the biggest port in America mm-hmm. for slave trading.
In New Orleans?
In New Orleans.
Oh, wow.
Think about it. It was the biggest port. And now Pastor Fred Luter, the president of the Southern Baptist, and by the way, they have 16 million members. So it's a significant thing, you know. And you know, God's just such a just God. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you hold on long enough, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
If you just hold on and you watch over your lifetime that there's fair scales. I mean, God balances them out. He's full of mercy. He's full of grace. And I like what, you know, Pastor Fred Luter said that, you know, when people started questioning him, like, why in the world, you know, would you want to be over, you know, an organization that was against us historically? And he goes, you know, I have things in my life that I've done wrong.
Right.
You know, and he says, I'm not going to bring them up. And, you know, you got to forgive and you got to receive forgiveness and you got to move on. And we have to, you know, receive healing. What's so cool about it, because if you listen to BFN Radio, we would have told you about a prophecy given by Rick Joyner. And that he writes about that the next great awakening, the move of God that would happen in America would come from our African-American brothers and sisters.
Right.
And there's a lot of counterfeit things going on right now, and make sure that you don't miss what God's going to do through our American-African brothers and sisters, and don't ever clump anybody together based on their race or by their gender, you know. Ignorance comes in all kinds of colors.
Amen to that.
And all kinds of genders, you know. Dr. King said this. Dr. King says, judge people by the content of their character. I mean, nobody, you know, gets through an okay door just because of anything other than, you know, their character. And in God, it's the, you know, Jesus.
Right.
You know, in Jesus, we're all red, you know, with
exactly.
blood. And then I think about this morning. I'm thinking about, you know, Avita King, Pastor Avita King. You know, she's the niece of Dr. King. I just love her.
Oh, she's awesome.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
She just radiates the love of God. And when I hear her talk, you know, you just want to kind of snuggle up against her and put her arm around your head, your shoulder, and just kind of just go, okay, just listen. I'm just going to be here for a while, you know?
Yeah.
And that could be all in my mind. She could just say, I don't want you near me. But she just loves God, you know, and she loves people, and she stands up for right to life, right to live, you know, and the children in the womb. And, she's just, if you haven't got a chance, you know, you can't join her Facebook group because she's maxed out on her membership. You only get so many of them there. But get a chance. You got to find out about her. You got to meet her. I believe she's a key God player in what's going to happen in America. And she's a very humble lady. She's very authentic. She's honest, you know, and she just tells it like it is. And she just seems to be, you know, the carrier of the anointing. And I'm just grateful for her and her boldness. And she even has a book. I can't tell you the name of the book, but I will in the future tell you the name of it because I don't have it here in front of me. But she's just precious. She's all about love. And she says this, and this is what her uncle, Dr. Martin Luther King, would say. He said, you know, we're going to win this thing by love. You know, we're not going to win it by violence. We're not going to win it by, you know, a political maneuvering in per se. We're going to win it because we stand up and we love each other, you know, and we say, just like Dr. King said, which I believe was a prophet to this nation. He says, you know, I see, you know, children of all colors holding hands and walking down the street, and it's not a big deal about it. And of course his visions come to pass today, and we have to guard ourselves, not letting that come back into our society again. And the root of it, the root of racism is anti-Semitism. And so we have to remember, you know, ever how we respond to Israel is what spirit will be over our land. And so we as the church, we want to love Israel. You know, I was just in communication this morning to Avi in Tel Aviv. You know, we need to stand for Israel. We need to pray for Israel. We can't accept anti-Semitism, you know, which is racism towards the Jewish, our Jewish brothers and sisters. And we have to stand up against that. If we don't stand up against that, then it'll produce all kinds of division amongst us. And I noticed one particular thing that our president of our country, who has probably not been friendly, is probably the most unfriendliest president we've ever had in his staff for against Israel. You know, he's even partnering with Putin right now, President Putin, and they're coming down and bringing ships in, into Syria, and we have to understand Syria is on top of Israel.
Right.
I mean, it's just right there. I mean, when you and I were there at the northern borders, we're looking at Syria. We're looking at Lebanon.
Yeah.
And we're looking at the soldiers right across the, remember that? The, and so that's very serious stuff when you look at Gog and Magog and all the prophecies that's taking place. But anti-Semitism is important, you know, to make sure that we say, no, you, it's not okay to discriminate against anybody, but it's not okay to discriminate against the Jews, you know, or anybody. And anti-Semitism means that you're discriminating against a Jewish brother or sister. And our president has drones flying all over the place, which is a drone is like an aircraft that's being manned by somebody who's running a PlayStation 2 in California. I mean, really, I mean, it's not PlayStation 2, but they're sitting there in a chair just like you would in any kind of game.
Yeah, remote control.
Yeah, game room or whatever, you know, and you sit there and they're they're flying these drones and they're seeing in real time people, and these drones can fire weapons, they can do all these different things and spy and all that, and we're flying drones. You got to get this, we're flying these airplanes, though it's not manned by a person, it's manned by, it's controlled by an American, and it's going over sovereign territory. You know, yeah, it's like, you know, sovereign territory means this. That is not America's. You know, you have to get permission by the king or permission by the president or permission by that government to be able to go into that particular land. And so, but we're just flying these puppies all over the place, over Pakistan, over, you know, different lands. And now we're even flying them over our own border in Mexico, you know, down Texas. And on Tuesdays, it's said that our president meets with his CIA, our CIA, and our president meets with our CIA, and they determine, you know, who, what part of Al-Qaeda they're going to, or who, they call it a kill list. So we're determining in our White House where we're going to fly a remote control plane to hunt somebody up, to be able to take them out as we're flying these planes over sovereign territory. You know, it's like, you got to understand, this is not going to be good. You can't just, I mean, imagine, okay, here you are in you're in your office right now. You're in your office right now, or you're in your home, and all of a sudden you hear, it's like, oh my goodness, you know, and you're just probably looking at the free Google Map version. Understand the government has something much better than free Google Maps. They're probably looking right through your, you know, shingled roof and looking at heat sensors as you're going over and like, run for your life, hide under the, you know, like you do in a tornado. It's like, it ain't going to work. And then all of a sudden they just shoot into this house or this dwelling or this office or this, and they take it out. They take it out. And we're doing this, you know, it's and over sovereign territory. And so the United Nations just confronted us. And they said, listen, you know, you got to stop this. You know, you can only do this. You can't send your CIA drones anymore. But you can send your, you can only do it in the military battle zones. You know, you can't just fly them all over the place. And so this is what the president said. We have a right to exist. We have a right. He said, we have a right to defend ourselves. And it's like, are you serious? I mean, he's right.
Right.
But are you serious? I mean, you're the very same person that when Israel said they had a right to defend themselves, it was like, what are you saying? What'd he say? You know, Israel says we have a right to exist. We have a right to defend ourselves. And you got to understand this, the widest point of Israel, the widest point geographically speaking, is 60 miles. It's not some huge, I mean, the very fact of how small Israel is proves how awesome God is, you know. People say, you know, you think in the logical sense, you could have taken it out a long time ago, but you can't. I mean, God's actually holding that. He's guarding that. And you can't mess with Israel. But still this, that our president, you know, kind of gets aloof in the response of saying, you know, when Israel says the very same thing that he's saying, and I think he's right in saying that we have a right to defend ourselves. I mean, he's right. You know, going over sovereign territory. I mean, if you know, you reap what you sow. If we're going to go over people's sovereign territory, guess what? They're going to come over our sovereign territory, which means you may be, you know, cooking out on your barbecue grill, and all of a sudden you hear, you don't know if that's a little Bobby flying as a little plane, or if that's like Al-Qaeda flying a little drone over you. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
And it's like, throw a rock at it. Throw a rock at it. And it's just so we'll talk more about that in the future, you know, some of the things that are happening. And we have to be aware of all this. And but that, you know, Israel has a right to defend themselves. And so when people are speaking against Israel, saying they don't have a right to exist, they need to be pushed in the sea, they're calling them little Satan. That's called anti-Semitism. That's right. Anti-Semitism. So if you or anybody buys into that, then that's a racist spirit, and that actually will reap that on ourselves. And if we want to walk together as brothers and sisters, we have to stand with Israel. We have to stand. One of the key ingredients of that is standing with Israel and standing in love, like Pastor Evita King says. If you get a chance, and hopefully we're going to play some interviews with her, and hopefully we'll have her on VFN Radio, Lord willing. And but she is just so cool. I mean, she's just so sweet. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so nice. It just radiates the love of God. And she's just a precious, precious person. But anyway, so I just want to encourage you that that's very exciting to see Pastor Fred Luter, the first African-American president of the Southern Baptist Convention, which has 16 million members. And he's a pastor in New Orleans at the Franklin Avenue Church. And we've ministered in New Orleans mm-hmm. over there. I want to give a shout out actually to the DeJesuses this morning. We'll give you a hello this morning. And but the fact that it was the busiest slave port in America.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? It's mm-hmm. the busiest slave port. And there's so much to that, by the way. You know, and that Haiti, you know, people talk about Haiti. Oh, Haiti's got problems, and Haiti's this and Haiti that. But you have to understand, you know, God is a just God. If you go back and look at your history, and you know, I encourage you not to avoid, you know, even learning about history. You know, get a chance, find out about not just your own history, but the history of people groups and things that have happened. But, you know, the Louisiana Purchase, Pat, which is all the property of an America that was, you know, west of the Mississippi, basically. All that land was owned by Napoleon, right? Mm-hmm. Owned by, well, yeah.
France.
And kind of, oof, by Napoleon. And so, and he was actually, at that time, he had enslaved the Haitians. And he was, France has done this, not him, but France had done this. And so the Haitian people were in slavery, and they were, you know, it was a very fruitful land, and they were producing all this, you know, produce and things for the world and all that. But he started, Napoleon started losing in a battle and some things that happened, and had to do some more, I think it was the French and American War or something like that. Anyway, that he needed money. Mm-hmm. He needed money. He lost Haiti. He needed money to be able to continue doing what he was doing. And so we gave them like, what, $12, $13 million for the Louisiana Purchase. Mm-hmm. But we gave them money, him money, who was enslaving the Haitian people. America gave money to this brutal leader. Mm-hmm. And they refused, America refused to do business with Haiti once they got free.
Oh, wow.
They refused to do business with them. So we partner, our forefathers partnered with this present Haiti. It didn't just get this way. And so, you know, there's a place of repentance. There's a place of understanding that. But everything west of the Mississippi, you know, God's a just God.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so and just understanding. So you think about that. Here he is. You know, the French are enslaving the Haitian people, you know, and then the port, you know, you go to New Orleans, you have French Creole food. That's mm-hmm. that's Haiti and France mixed together. You see French Creole,
right?
And that's two nations put together. Uh-huh. And so we're eating food today that was brought together through that particular situation. And so when New Orleans was the biggest port for slave trade,
right?
Where they're taking human beings, you know, and selling them to Americans. And enslaving them mm-hmm. for their laborers to produce wealth for you, for whoever that was. And so, you know, that's sad. That's horrific. And, you know, mm-hmm. and we have to repent for that. And that's why I think it's so cool, because see how significant that is when you think about
huge.
All that?
That's
I mean,
huge.
Louisiana, Haiti, the French, African-American president of the Southern Baptist Convention, mm-hmm. you know, it's just like, oh my goodness, God, you're so, if you hold on long enough,
Yeah.
And you don't buy into the bitterness and all the things the enemy wants to do and try to offend you. And just sit back and watch, like Solomon. He says, I look through the lattice work and I observed.
Yeah.
And it's just like, wow, that is so cool, God. And so I encourage you to pray for Pastor Luter and just celebrate this huge achievement and honor that we all have to see something take place in America like that. We'll be right back after this message. You know, when you're thinking about your relationship with the Lord, I mean, life gets hectic, you know. John, I mean, you think about it, you know, you got your work, you got your family, you got, you know, friends, you got, you know, just everything's pulling at you. You know, your nation's pulling at you, you know, you're just, it doesn't matter where, it just seems like everything just kind of pulls at you. And there needs to be some sort of epicenter of peace, you know, someplace that is a place that you can abide, you know, just, I can get to my secret place. You know what I'm saying? And really, because, you know, being a believer, if you're listening right now and you're a believer that wherever you are, you know, the kingdom of God is not a matter of relocation. It's a matter of revelation, and that you can realize that right where you are, you can, God wants to meet with you and meet with him. Yeah. You need to probably get, you know, most people really want to abide with God, but they just need a simple plan. You know, everything's coming so quick. There's so much information hitting you. You can't find rest anywhere. But let me tell you something. You're going to need to find this rest, and you're going to need to abide under the Lord's wings of a secret place, because, you know, it's just going to increase. It's not going to decrease all the stress that's coming, because it's actually a strategy of the adversary to mess you up. But let me tell you something. God had this day in mind. You just need a simple plan, and you can go, as a matter of fact, John, you can go to iabide.org. We have that simple plan waiting for you right now. iabide.org. You know, you have iPhones and iPods, but go to iabide.org and read a little bit about abiding. If you want to request a simple plan, just request it there, and it'll come right immediately to you, a video and some information to be able to help. You could start right away in your abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. You've been trying to conquer some things in your life and some personal struggles. Let me tell you, that's why Jesus died. He died to be able to empower you to do that. But you can't do it on your own. You're going to need to be empowered by God. And that happens, like he told us in John 15. It happens when you abide with him. So go to iabide.org and find out that the Lord will empower you to walk this walk that he asked of you at iabide.org. You know, when you think about, you know, John 15, where Jesus says, he tells us, you know, right before he's going to go to be with the Father, he says, all these things basically that I've asked of you, you know, it's impossible to do, to bear fruit. But it can be done. It's possible to do on your own, but you can do it through the empowerment of Jesus Christ and abiding with him. And he said, my Father's the gardener, and he is the vine and we're the branches. I mean, we all have to work together in this. And, you know, abiding is so important, but it's so easy. So many people have made it so religious that they sing it is, you know, it seems totally impossible, but it's not impossible. That's religion telling you it's impossible. As a matter of fact, I want Jamie to be able to tell you. Jamie is 6 years old and he abides with the Lord. Just hear it in Jamie's own word. This is what your life should be like when you abide.
My name is Jamian, and I'm from Texas, and I really wish that everyone could figure out the Holy Spirit of God, and if we could follow him, we could probably be good, and God will probably make us gooder. And I think that what will we do if we could figure out if God can give us power, like following him. If we could do that, maybe we can finally figure out the Holy Spirit, and And if we have a Bible and we're reading it, you might want to follow it, because it gives you more stuff to follow the Lord. And the Bible, it's what God is wanting you to do. And I think if you follow it, then you would be one of the angels from God.
Jamie is 6 years old. He's abiding with God in all we did, right, Pat?
Mm-hmm.
What did you ask Jubian?
All I asked him, what is your name?
What is your name? What you heard was a young man who's 6 years old who is abiding with the Lord. Listen, it's very simple. Religion's made it difficult. I mean, everybody wants to. You need a simple plan. A simple plan that even a six-year-old can follow. Listen, God loves you, wants to spend time with you. It's not impossible what he's asked you to do, but it's impossible to do it on your own. You can do it through an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. You want to find out more? Go to iabide.org. We have a plan waiting for you, a simple plan waiting for you. It's at iabide.org. Request your plan there, and it'll come to you immediately.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. With me in the studios is Pat Hamilton. Goodness, is that not awesome? I love to hear Jamie, and you know, when he's sharing about, you know, what the Lord says. I wish my subject verb agreement was as good as his. You know what I'm saying?
So
it's like
good.
He thought that through. Mm-hmm. If you don't know this, he's 6 years old. Mm-hmm. Isn't that something?
Yeah, powerful.
You got to pray for me. I don't think my subject verb agreement is that good. Oh my goodness, Joanne, I just want to give you a shout out this morning. I love your post about my father. My father loves me, cares for me, forgives me, is compassionate, is giving, is understanding, is accepting, satisfies, persistently pursues me. You know, that he pardons, he heals, he redeems, he's loving kindness, he renews, is righteous, is gracious, is sovereign. That is so awesome. You know, and every scripture reference is on there. Yeah, I'm going to repost that. You know, she mm-hmm. posted that on my Facebook. I want to put that out for everybody today. But I just want to encourage you, just God's awesome.
Yes.
And he's just totally awesome, and there's nobody like him. We're going to put up on the blog today. We want to remember, this is very important, 27 million women and children are involved, held captive, enslaved, statistics say, into the sex trafficking in the world. And it's a atrocious thing that's taken place. It's probably the biggest thing. We talked about, you know, the slavery that took place in Haiti. We talk about the slavery that took place in America. But right today, there is the largest number of enslaved people today in human sex trafficking. Wow. And there's a documentary done by Exodus Cry. Right. Exodus Cry was birthed out of the International House of Prayer, Kansas City, IHOP Kansas City. And you know, they begin to say, you know, we've been praying, now we need to get activated. And God began to burden them for this, you know, 27 million women and children in the sex trafficking enslavement. And so they came out with this documentary, and the documentary is called Nefarious. Nefarious. And it's hard to watch, but it's something you have to watch, because we can't bury our head in the sand of denial, because God, he's fair and he's just. I mean, knowing that, if you've done somebody wrong, you need to go repent, by the way, because he's going to, you know what I'm saying? You got to just go say, you know, forgive me. But understanding that he cares about these women, you know, it ends in the documentary ends like this. And, you know, they showed all this evidence of things that are going on and how you can do it. And you can actually partner with Exodus Cry. Mm-hmm. You know, and you could go to ihop.org to find out more about it, or you can go to the VFN TV blog, and we'll have it put up for you as well. But the movie, the documentary ends with, because they went over into these areas that they're, and it's all over the world. I mean, mm-hmm. not only is, you know, the World Wide Web allowing good things to happen, but it's allowing a lot of bad things to happen.
Right.
And but it ends with this lady's voice going, "Help me, come and get me." I mean, it's just like, "Oh my goodness, where are you?"
Mm.
And they have children that are like 8 years old that are sleep, you know, being enslaved. I wouldn't say sleeping with, being forced to have sex with 13, a little girl being forced to have sex with 13 men in one day in parts of our parts of the world. And how can we as Americans understand this? You know, there's a lot of crazy things going on in America, but you know, we as the church, you know, we can stand for that. We can stand for righteousness. We can do something about it. You know, I mean, you're going to buy a Starbucks today for $5. You know, go to Exodus Cry. Go to Exodus Cry and give them your Starbucks money today.
Mm.
Do something. Let God see you involved in partnering with them. And they're kind of heading this up, and a lot of people are helping out. I believe the Operation Blessing is getting involved as well. I think that Pat Robinson said, listen, make this a primary focus, you know, of getting out there and doing something about it. But we all have to do it. And one way you can do that is through Exodus Cry. Get the documentary. Find out what's going on. You know, this is the face of a global economy. This is what it says in there. It says the face of a global economy, and they push back the dirt, and it's a buried child, dead buried child that's been you know, enslaved and cost the child its life. And you know, parents are giving their children for a refrigerator. They're taking their child and they're giving them to these people for a refrigerator or something. I couldn't afford to feed them, so you can afford to feed. And they just hand them over, you know. And Satan, I'm gonna tell you something. Evil exists.
Yeah.
You know that. You know, one thing that, you know, we like to, you know, sometimes think evil doesn't exist. You know, you can negotiate with evil. You can't negotiate with evil.
No.
And it exists. And this is one way, you know, that we can stand up for God and what is right. And think if that was you. And what if that was you, and you just got traded for a refrigerator or for, you know, some stuff or something, and you have your brothers and sisters, but then your mom and your dad just said, this is what's best for the family. And then they take you as an 8-year-old girl, mm-hmm. and they give you to this stranger who just lied what he's going to do with mm-hmm. you. And sometimes they even know. I mean, they obviously know, too, because mm-hmm. it's right there, and it's not like somebody. And then every day, not only do you have to live with the fact that you're being abused, that you're being raped, and all these things are going on, but you got to deal with the fact that even your own mother and father put you in this place. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Understand that God cares. You know, God cares. And we are supposed to have the heart of God. And one way you can do that is through the Exodus Cry. You can order the DVD now. It was in the movie theaters, or they were taken at different campuses to be able to show the documentary. You know, a partner with Exodus Cry. You can find out more on the VFN TV blog at VFNTV.com. And you can drop down menu says ways to connect with us, or right there on the little icon, and find out a lot of things that are taking place. Matter of fact, I think I'm going to put I read to you from My Father Loves, Cares for Me, and all the things that Joanna posted. I'm going to put that on the blog so you can see that. I want everybody to be able to see that out there. Well, today is the 20th of the month, and we like to look at whatever the corresponding proverb is today, because 31 proverbs, and we want wisdom, and we need wisdom more than ever. All these things are taking place, and wisdom can really help you when you got all this information just hitting you, and all this data is coming, and you know, if you got alarms on any of your little devices, they're like shouting at you, beep beep beep, it's like stop, you know. Mm-hmm. And but if you have wisdom will tell you how to respond to all that. You know, and today is the 20th of the month, so we're looking at Proverbs chapter 20, verse 3, and it reads, this is the Proverbs, what it reads, it says, it is to a man's honor to avoid strife. Think about it. It's to a man's honor to avoid strife, but every fool is quick to quarrel. What does that mean, you think? What does that mean? What do you think that means?
Well, let's find out.
All right, let's find out. Well, quick to quarrel. I mean, it's a fool, right?
Yeah.
Think about that. That is so something. And it's so, I mean, I've never seen, you know, you think about when Israel was in, when they were in captivity, And God was raising up Gideon, actually. Mm-hmm. They were actually held captive by the Midianites. And Midian means strife. I mean, held captive by strife. There's nothing worse than a strifeful spirit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
People don't like doing what strifeful people who have strifeful spirits want them to do, per se. But they end up doing what they want them to do because they just want to avoid strife.
Right.
What's the difference, right?
Yeah, there is none.
What's the difference, you know?
Right.
And so a spirit of strife, it's demonic, by the way. And it wants to constantly stir up, you know, those kind of avoidances of doing what's right. And the definition of strife, according to dictionary.com, I have to wait for a minute because the ad dropped down right in front of me right here in the car. It says, you know, vigorous or bitter conflict. Vigorous, you know, vigorous, you think about like consistent, like boom, boom, boom.
Very aggressive.
Boom. Yeah, isn't it amazing?
Very aggressive.
Oh my goodness. Vigorous and bitter conflict, discord. I mean, so you can never, as long as there's strife, as long as there's a spirit of strife, you know, there will never be unity. Mm. Somebody says, you know, I just wish my family would be more united. I wish my marriage would be more united. I wish my church gathering would be more united. I wish my office would be more united. You know what? If you don't deal with the spirit of strife, if you don't deal with the fools, right?
Right.
Exactly. You're not going to have unity, what he's saying. And it's the definition of strife is vigorous or bitter conflict, discord, antagonism. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Just kind of just plugging away.
Oh,
antagonistic, tough. You know? Mm-hmm. A quarrel, struggle, clash, competitive. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
You know, as believers, really? You want to compete? We're on the same team.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. You know, you score a touchdown for the team and they get angry with you. It's like, really? We're all going to wear the ring, right? Even the water boy gets to get the ring, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody wanting the glory, wouldn't it be?
Yeah.
And so then, you know, he says, it is in a man's honor to avoid strife. But every fool is quick to quarrel, to argue, to take on strife. Or a fool gets all intertwined with someone who has a spirit of strife.
Mm-hmm.
You look back and you think, you know, wisdom goes, are you really going to try to reason with that spirit of strife?
Right, right.
Instead, just go, okay, and keep moving.
Move
because,
on.
Yeah, because somebody, it's to your honor. I know that the person is working your last nerve. And I know that they're probably, since they're held captive, they're also accusing you because Satan is the accuser of the brethren. But realize, it looks like you look like a fool when you're trying to reason with somebody with a spirit of strife.
Mm-hmm.
It's wrong. It's plainly wrong. Mm-hmm. It's ungodly. It's a sin, you know. And if they're not going to, they have to deal with it. Now, one thing, if they want to deal with it, then you can actually pray. And you can drive out a spirit of strife. Mm-hmm. But the only, because it's based in a root of pride, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So the only way to conquer pride is humility, right?
Yeah, imagine that.
You know, the definition of, you know, I remember, you know, when I was trying to figure out, you know, as a believer and trying to hear what God is saying and, you know, and I was trying to figure out, as the Lord was speaking to me about pride, I was like, Lord, there's so much pride in our lives and it's just pride. My goodness, I mean, how do you identify pride, you know? And then he said, well, just look at, no, I'm just joking, you know I am. But he told me this. He says, don't even look for pride. Don't even look for pride. Think about it. To be able to locate pride, don't even look for it. Because we all, there's so much of it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Self-reliancy and all these different things. And right. He said, look for humility. And if you don't see humility, you're looking at pride.
Yeah.
So then the question is, what's the definition of humility, right?
Yeah.
And it says it's the opposite of pride.
Total opposite.
Total opposite. Mm-hmm. And it is total dependency on God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, total. Not right. Just, you know, I trust him in this area, but not that area.
Right.
Well, that's the area you're strifeful in. That's when somebody starts dealing with that area. You start
somebody
getting
touch that button.
Yeah, like, that's right. Strife. And it's like, I'm not going to talk to you because I'm not going to be a fool. Anyway, so that is total. The definition of humility is the opposite of pride. It's total dependency on God. And listen to this part. And respect for other people. You know, a fool. There's a proverb that says that you can't. It's just impossible to honor a fool.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's like I'm trying to honor you.
Right. And it's even so bad. The word even says it's better to live on the roof than to be in a house of strife.
Oh, that's true. It is. It really is. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
That's what it says.
Get away.
That's right. That's why you build a second story.
Yeah.
And so you think about it. It says, so it is to a man's honor to avoid strife. What does that mean? It doesn't mean you go resolve every strifeful Midianite issue going on. It just means if they're going to run on some treadmill of roller coaster of strife, and you could see there was this cartoon character. Most people probably don't know about this character. You know, it was called Charlie Brown.
Yeah.
But there was this one kid. I don't know what he was, but he carried a cloud with him. He had like a cloud of dirt. I don't know what his name
was. Yeah, I think it's Pigpen.
Oh, really? That was the name? Yeah, was it Pigpen? Oh, is that kind of biblical, right? You know, Barbara was talking to me about a book about deliverance, and you know, the pig, the demons flew out of the Jewish men who were herding pigs, which is a contradiction. They shouldn't have had any pigs in the first place, right? And they went they went out of the people, and they went into the pigs.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
And so this book is about, you know, the pig's parlor and different things like that. And so you're going to have to help me out. How did pigs come up? What did that come
you're
from?
You're talking about Charlie
Brown. Oh, Charlie Brown. Yeah, Pigpen. Yeah. And so they're like Pigpen because he walked around with a big cloud around him. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like, you know, ma'am, dude. And you know, think about it. Okay, if you want to have a Pigpen cloud around you, which is all this demonic festerings, like, if you begin to abide with God, you can really just see the stuff. You know, you can just see it, and we're moved with compassion over that. We want everybody to be free. I mean, Jesus was moved with compassion because he saw they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. But if you won't listen, I mean, if you've partnered with Second Heaven, which is Ephesians 6:12. And you decided that you're going to live your life that way, it's actually to my honor to avoid you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Which is pretty a big relief because a lot of times people have this Messiah complex where they think they're going to go help this person. It's like, dude, if they're going to stay in that spirit of strife, you know, don't get on the roller coaster ride. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, they say, you know, as you get older, you get wiser. But the thing is, you're just tireder. It's like, I don't have enough energy to get on that roller coaster
ride. Right.
And so this Messiah complex, get past that thing and say, you know what? You know, I'm just going to avoid you. It's to my honor to avoid that. It's to my honor to make sure that I don't do things that would cause strife, you know? But every fool is quick to argue. And it's amazing, you know, it's like, are you arguing?
Right.
Really? Is that, I thought we were just going to have a cup of coffee. And so the word today, the wisdom today, you know, we want wisdom. God, give us wisdom. And think about it. Solomon could have asked for anything when he took over from his father, David, King David. Mm-hmm. He could ask for money. He could have asked for wealth. He could have asked for anything. But he said, Lord, give me wisdom to be able to do what you've called me to do. Mm-hmm. Give me wisdom to lead your people. And God says this. This is what God says. And if you stop asking for things and ask for wisdom. He said, because you asked for wisdom, I will give you more wisdom than anybody's ever had, but I'll also give you all these other things that people are asking for, basically, mm-hmm. you know, gold, wealth, and all that kind of stuff. And he was like the richest man at that time. And so, actually, he was really rich because he had like gold and metals and things.
Yeah,
today, it's just
real,
like,
real know, money.
It's like, oh, of course I'm rich. Look at my numbers. And so that's our word today. You know, avoid it's to your honor. Now, the person that has the strife on them that they refuse to deal with, they won't respond to you as if, wow, how honorable, you avoided me. They'll be saying, listen to me. It's like, I'm going to do the honorable thing. I think I'm just going to avoid this whole conversation and pray for them that they can be free, because Jesus was moved with compassion when he saw this person's harassed and helpless. They're not. You know, they're not enjoying their life.
No.
And if you get too close, you won't enjoy yours.
That's right.
So that's for the wisdom for today. We'll be right back.
Glad to have you here.
I'm glad to be here.
And there's people out there right now that I know you're brilliant now. I mean, because you're so educated. I mean, you just graduated from University of West Florida. You've graduated from the Vine Fellowship Network University. I mean, you're about to go plant a church. You've already did church work in Florida, but you're going to go to Pittsburgh. I mean, you're just, you know, walking on water now. But imagine if you would.
God. Thank you, Jesus.
There's somebody out there listening right now via the radio that they slightly felt like, you know, I had a call, but immediately they looked at themselves and they looked at their work at this even come to pass. And, you know, they started doubting themselves. Talk to that person right now about how VFNU could help them out.
Wow. If you really feel that God's just really speaking to you or just speaking in your heart, VFNU is the resource that you need, because I totally relate to you, because when God found me, I had gone through the laundry list of everything that the world offered. And I knew that as soon as the message of Jesus Christ was shared to me, I knew that's exactly what I wanted. And God just began to just take me on a journey of just revealing himself to me. And it, no matter what he revealed himself, no matter what he revealed to me, it just made me more hungry. It just gave me a greater desire. And when God began to speak to me about VFNU, I was like, I have no idea what that is, but I know I want it. And if it has anything to do with God, sign me up. And in that, it was just like, each day was overwhelming, because it was like, oh my goodness, I'm like, wow, like this is, but it was overwhelming in a good way. And it's just so God. Right. God gives you the tools. He gives you just so many revelations, just so many levels of his word that are just, he's just so good. And VFNU is just, I mean, I still have all my notes, everything. Oh, yeah. I look back on it. And even in that, it's encouraging when I look back on it. And it's like, I remember, I think I was talking about it with you right after I graduated, and it was like looking back over an old photo album of all the revelations. It's just like, oh, I remember this one. I remember this one. Oh yeah. I remember when God spoke to me in my abiding time about this, and it was just,
isn't it amazing? So you can gather all the information that you want to, but there's nothing like the revelation. It's so empowering, and that's what VFNU is about.
Yeah.
You know, it was revealed from God.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like, you know, you might be thinking like, I got to go take my English class. I got to take my algebra class. It's just the revelation of God, and it's anointed. You know, and so you walk into it probably thinking, you know, well, I got to get this information so I can, you know, get to the point where I could minister, maybe shepherd God's people or whatever. And you walk in, the first thing you go is like, whoa, right?
Right?
Yeah. And then you finish that while, right? And then you go, the next thing you go like, whoa, you know, it's just, he's so awesome, isn't he?
No matter how much God you have, there's more.
There really is. And if you want to find out more, you possibly interested in, you feel a call on your life, you want to know more about possibly getting into leadership, and maybe you want to feel like you're called to be a pastor and you want to be trained, just come out to go to VFNU.org. That's VFNU.org, and you can find out more.
You know, if you're out there and you're listening, and you know, you find that life is empty, and you're doing everything that you're supposed to be doing. You know, you're working a good job, you went to school, you're married, you have a family, you have children. And you know what? Things still don't seem to quite satisfy. And it still seems like, you know, there's a big hole in your heart. I want to encourage you. There is hope today. You know, there is a hope through a relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. And you can meet him at Meet My Father. You know, the world is hungry. And I can tell you, I was in the same place. I can relate. You know, I went to school. I did all the right things that you're supposed to do. But yet, deep down in my heart, I still had such a huge hole and no amount of everything the world had to offer me, and I did it all, was never satisfying. And still, at the end of the day, I still was missing my relationship with God. You know, if that's you, let me tell you, you can meet him. You can go to meetmyfather.org, and you can meet my father, and you can begin this journey of understanding and knowing him personally. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. With me in the studios is Pat Hamilton, the one and the only.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, right. Did I read that right?
Thank goodness. There's only one.
The script writer. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Can you imagine?
Can you imagine?
Okay, let's move on.
Let's move on.
Well, you know, I want to say, you know, can you, oh my goodness, time is so short. You know, we're in the last 10 minutes of the first hour. Don't forget to join us in the extra hour here. And if you missed the first hour, you can get us on your VFN TV app. You can go to your Android store and search for VFN TV. It'll come up, download it, or you can go to your browser, VFNTV.com, and follow the steps. And you can carry VFN TV and VFN radio with you everywhere you go. And you can subscribe if you want to have even more content. Include, by the way, you can include it as a free subscriber. You get all these notes and things you need to have meaty studies of what's being taught in VFN TV. But also you can use that for for your churches, for your church gatherings, for your Bible study, for your gathering in groups to be able to teach others right there. You know, we had Brianna on, and uh-huh. Brianna was during this earthquake that was a sign of what Chuck Pierce was talking about. You know, and I'm going to the VFN TV blog right now, and I'm going to read that prophetic word that was posted that came July 30th, 2011, and it's talking about the open door. It was open door meeting was the name of it by Chuck Pierce. And in that particular word, it's almost like the government is stuck. Mm-hmm. It's like, for lack of a better term, it's in purgatory. It's not here. It's not there. And it's like, it's just stuck. And what Chuck is saying prophetically, and you got a word that said that until the church gets unstuck, mm-hmm. the government of the church, until we shift, that the world's governments, because you look at this, where in the world is there a leader? I mean, in countries right now, maybe Spain, I know that, in Greece, I mean, the leaders who are running for office are punching each other out. I mean, a man standing up and punched one of his opponents out. He punched her out like two or three hits with a fist.
Punched her out?
Yeah. But he actually took a glass of water and threw it across the table at another opponent.
Uh-huh.
And this is the political campaign atmosphere of the world right now.
Oh.
And but he says in his word that he says the Spirit of the Lord began to speak. This is Chuck Pierce, July 30, 2011. He says, "You will decree a release of one of these scrolls. I stood up and said, the Lord will say, watch Washington, D.C. But we try not to. He says, watch Washington, D.C., for there will come upon the place a physical storm. The storm will be a sign. The sign is necessary and cannot be prevented. The physical storm will rest down, and when the storm descends, the scroll for the government of this land will be unlocked. The scroll for this government will be unlocked. He says, I will unwind a structure that has gotten intertwined with the enemy's plan. I will reinstate law in this land that has been removed. Praise God.
Wow, yeah.
Isn't that awesome? I am sending an angel in at my command based upon the revelation that is being spoken now. And from those angelic hosts, a land and its government will be changed. Then one of the angels spoke. The land had a scroll and said, this is a religious spirit.
Mm.
That's what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
This is a religious spirit that is preventing governmental change.
Oh, wow.
So think about that. This is a religious spirit preventing governmental change. We're going to have to deal with our stuff. I mean,
mm-hmm.
America is a byproduct of the church. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The church came first. You know, they came over trying to look for a land that they can worship in, and eventually America came out of that.
Mm-hmm.
He says, if my people, who are called by name, he says, many denominations have rejected the shifting of one mantle and the wearing of the new mantle. Even as John the Baptist ended the prophetic covenant of one season and the mantle was placed upon John the Revelator and opened up the people to come, many people have refused to enter in and wear the mantle of John the Revelator. It's just time for us to shake off the old wineskin and put on the new wineskin. Listen, there's God's form of government. We have so intertwined men's form of government in the church as if, you know, God was before America. God was before Robert's rules of order. Hello. You know, Robert's rules of order is, you know, it's good to have order. God's God of order. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's been used more for Jezebel and people that are bringing strife and Korah's right. out there doing things that are not right. You know, they're finding ways that they can get a foothold into things versus saying, you know, if you're the man of God and you're the woman of God and you're supposed to be leading, God didn't say, hey, go ask somebody's opinion. He's already given you his opinion. Mm-hmm. There's wisdom in a multitude of counsel. But look, his form of government is the right form of government. And so I want to encourage you that you can find that at VFNTV.com and go to the blog there and you can see it. It's entitled The Prophetic Word from Chuck Pierce. And it was given, like I said, July 30 of 2011, calling the Open Door Meeting as the name of the actual word there. Listen, God is doing some awesome things. And the reason why I said that was because when Brianna talked about when she was in Virginia, at the very same time, you can understand, I prophesied for 10 years about, you know, the coming of the Lord. And at the end of that 10-year period, the Lord told me, you know, stop. I mean, very mm-hmm. distinctly.
Yes.
Did he not?
He said now.
He said now. I said, are you sure? I really like doing this. And but now that you talk to me. And so anyway, he yelled stop so loud that the very place I was at closed down in like 90 days.
Shut it down.
It was a business. Because the prophecy's over, stop prophesying when they didn't respond, and then these storms would come and they started breaking out across the world, and he says, or else I'll smite the earth with a curse, and so I'm going to a meeting, and I'm getting ready for another meeting about to take place, and this meeting that I'm coming to is literally a religious spirit. Mm-hmm. It has this whole meeting. I have to deal with a religious spirit, mm-hmm. If you see the second heaven, it's not people are not the problem. It's Satan's the problem, and we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. And so, if you could see this demonic activity, it's evil. Mm-hmm. And so, as I was preparing for all that, and I'm going to a meeting prior to that, all of a sudden there was a wreck.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't see the driver. The driver didn't see me, and then you know we. I got T-boned by an El Camino, mm-hmm. Which I had a plastic truck and they had a real car. it was suddenly, it was just like a big bam. It just hit. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just a few moments later until, you know, the sign in Washington, D.C. hit and all of a sudden the ground started shaking. If you missed that yesterday, you got to catch the highlights about the earthquake in Virginia and that, you know, Brianna was there and it began mm-hmm. to shake. She said it was like God pushing a 60,000 square foot building with his pinky. And I said, what did you do? She said, we looked at each other. They're in the office and they're just all looking. Yeah. I said, that's pretty profound, isn't it?
Right, right.
And so make sure you understand that. And so Chuck Pierce is saying, look for the sign in Washington, D.C. I believe that was the sign. That was the, I mean, think about it. Think about this. The White House was shaking and quaking and it went straight up all the way up down to Georgia, all the way up into New York, but it was the White House. It's shaking and quaking. You would, this is what I would think. I'd reconsider my political viewpoints when the White House that I'm governing from is shaking for the mm-hmm. first time. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm like, okay, I think I'm gonna, you know, can I get some new advisors in here? I'm thinking this is not good. A blind mind's a dangerous thing.
Right.
So we're coming to the end of the first hour right here. But I just want to encourage you. If you missed that. You know, you can get it. Maybe it'll be together here with this in the future. But you got it. This is a sign. And find that prophetic word and read it. The government needs a switch. We need to be able to take on this mantle of the new wineskin. We'll be back with you extra hour. God bless.